The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and I'm here with Brian Jarawa.
Correct.
Jarawa.
J-A-R-A-W,
Jarawa. Okay, yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now I got it right.
Jarawa.
A griot in our village, been around a number of years, drumming that drum.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in New Haven. I started out in grade school at County Scoop over on Olive Street over there. I had a teacher. Her name we know by Miss Cunningham, so I don't know her first name, but she's probably gone by now. She was from the Bahamas. And Miss Cunningham was the music teacher, and she had a conga drum. And when I first heard that drum, it just did something to me. So she played a little beat and stuff, and she sat me down and said, "Yeah, play." And I think the first song we did was Harry Belafonte, "Daylight Come and Me Wanna," and we do bot do do bot. Right, so that was one of the first rhythms I learned, taught by Miss Cunningham. Right? And from then on, I just stayed on that drum. So growing up in the project, there always has been somebody with a drum in the projects over on Grand Avenue. Farnham Courts. Somebody had a drum, so we would rotate and go to different people's houses who had drums, congas at that time, right? And one of the brothers that actually I would say that actually turned me on, that kept me going, his name was Benny McCauley. Benny McCauley, may you rest in peace. And so he kept me on it, right? So it was exciting. It's like I meet people from Africa, from all over the world, right? And the diverse cultures of the drum in music, right? We had it too, you could wake up and just hear drumming and the doo-wops in the hallways and stuff. It still is a great and a valid culture,
And that's good. Let's go back a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your parents.
My parents, mom, she bought me my first drum.
Right? Well, what's her name? What was mom's name?
Annie Mae Green.
And where was she from?
She was from Dumas, Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I got a chance to visit that one time when I was 10, but she bought me this parade drum. It's a little small parade drum, and I remember striking that drum. And I used to hear this noise inside when you hit it. It was like some type of rattling inside the drum, and I was so curious about where that sound was coming from. I actually poked a hole in to look inside to see where that sound was coming from. It's not only that spring sound, but just the drum itself. What makes it do that? So I, you know, that was, for me, that was the head of my curiosity, you know, and wanting to go further with that, to actually break open the drums, you know, something that she bought and stuff. She was like, what are you doing? When I told her about it, you know, why I did it, and I remember her smiling and, you know, and just gave me the approval. But she knew that was my curiosity. Mm. So she always supported me, you know. And then I grew, you know, my stepfather, I grew up with my stepfather, but mom, everybody know, mom was the one that gave me the greatest of support in me staying on it.
Mm. Yeah. What kind of lady was she? What did she do for a living? Was she stern?
Mm. Oh. Oh, man. She well balanced in fear. I got slapped upside the head getting smart with her, you know, a few times. But it wasn't abusive. And I know I deserved that. You know, I was, you know, got a little sassy with her. And, you know, before I can even blink for that pow, you know, that correction. But she didn't bring us up, you know, putting her hands on us or anything. It was very wise, too. She always had, she was the person I would go to talk. I could talk to her about anything, you know. You know, relationships, you know. I had a lot of the turbulent thing with relationships, you know, in and out, and many tears and crying on her shoulders, you know, and then her giving me some comforting words. But she provided a great guidance in my growth. I have a song that's online also called Mom. At some point, I guess you can, if you log in my name, Brian Jarawa Gray, a lot of stuff will pop up in SoundCloud and YouTube and various other platforms.
But we'll get there soon.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your stepdad. I guess, was he the male figure in your life or?
No. He was, I want to avoid even he was abusive.
Oh, okay.
You know, he did not spare that belt. I got my behind whooped and almost for anything. A lot of put down, you know, so I'm going to have to get on the therapeutic couch with this guy. But, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of put down, you know, things that I avoid doing with my own children. If you're going to correct them, you know, or have a problem with what you're doing, you know, if you're doing it wrong, just show me how to do it right. So I didn't really get that from him, you know. So.
But you learned from his mistakes.
Yes, I
so
did.
Do you feel sometimes when we do that, we overcompensate, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Do you feel like you did that with your children, you overcompensated, or you felt like you got it just right this time?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, when I speak to my own child, I have my two boys live with me, you know. If I have a problem with what they are doing, I also provide a way to do it right. You know, so that's the main thing that I learned from him. Also, he was very clean, very, very, he took care of the family. He did. I never experienced a day of being hungry. You know, the house on the inside and the outside, he kept it immaculate. So he passed away last year around this time at 96. Those small things, you know, even the house that I live in, little things like, you know, when you come out, you close the gate behind you, mm. right? Those little things, taking care of your space, That's what I actually learned from him, you know. And no, there's a, that wasn't unheard of. You're not going to walk over any trash on the floor, you know, and not pick it up. If he see you, he's that was the thing. Those are the positive things that he did with the correction. But he overcorrected. He was a nagging, argumentative type of guy.
And where was he from? What was his name?
He Ernest Green.
And where was he from?
He was from South Carolina.
Okay.
Greenville.
Okay.
South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice little quaint town.
Yeah.
Very good. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city, the E-drum. But we got a real drummer in the house, Mr. Brian Gray, Jarawa. I'm Jose Candelario, and we're having a delightful conversation. So you got this your mom encouraged the drum. You got your teacher, Miss Cunningham at Conti, giving you a drum. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get any formal training?
Yes. There was a gentleman, he was from Waterbury, and he took me under his wing. We called him Baba Paul Huggins. So he passed about 12 years ago. He was from Nevis in the islands. Used to be at the cultural center, Afro American Culture Center. Every Saturday, he'd go down there, and he would be there, and he would have all the drums set up, and you know, and he was a avid a studier of African rhythms, or the whole diaspora. So I believe I got the greatest of teaching from this man, because he was well rounded and balanced, and the way he teach, how he teach the drum. And there was, you know, passion, knowledge, wisdom, everything was involved with that. So I'd studied the Brazilian style drums with him, the West African, the djembe style drums, the Cuban congas with him, the bombas from Puerto Rico, even some of the taiko stuff from Japan, you know. So we were, you know. And each time, I studied under him for about, 30-35 years. And each time I'd get involved with other operations, like the Chuck Davis African Drum and Dance Group. He's well known in history. We founded the Kika Ese African Drum and Dance Group that operated actually out of the Afro American Culture Center on Park Street also. Also studied under Jalon Vieira. So a lot of people are getting into the capoeira. And stuff. I started a study with the capoeira along with the, he was from Brazil, the Bahia. A lot of people are getting into the capoeira along with the music,
mm-hmm.
right, and the drumming that goes with it. Right? They have a step, you know, the rota, and a playful rota where they're walking in circles. And it's done with the batting balls. A batting ball looks like a bow, like with the bow and arrow. So you have the bow and you strike it with a whip or a little petite stick. And then we had the cuicas with that, the sordo drums. So each study from these various parts of Africa and the whole diaspora would last. It wasn't like a passing moment. I would be on it 4 or 5 years before I switched to the next one. So Baba Paul would, I remember he took me off the drum. He said, "You're not a drummer." And he had his way of doing things. And he kept me on just the bells, cowbells. That's a serious study. So I stayed on that cowbell and the different ways of playing it for about 4 years. He took me off of that and then said, I first started, with the conga. Then he took me off the conga and put me on the djembe. And I said, I studied the djembe. And then he would encourage me to study elsewhere also. Right? And we would take all that, this knowledge, and I'd bring it back and incorporate that with what we were doing at that time with the Kika Ese, African Drum and Dance Company. We had a company. So, But those are my studies. They're different. I went to Africa last year. I was in Guinea, and I went there to study the drum, to study actually the djembe. They're when it comes to the djembe, they are the ones from between Guinea and Mali. But that's what I did. I stayed there for about a month, and then every day get up at 9 o'clock, have breakfast, and then we would go in the yard, and I would study drum with the brothers out there, and they would show me step by step the different parts, what they call the djembe, the doom dooms. Those were the bottom drums, which consisted of the three drums, the kinkine, the songba, and the djungjum, and then how that is played together, you know, or how it was played separately, but. It was a great time.
You go all through history, but I've noticed that you say when you study something, you go hard. Mm-hmm. Is that from mom? You know, to leave no stone unturned when it comes to the study, or who was that instilled in you to, like, you know, make sure that you get that one thing right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, mom would she saw the talent with that, and how easily I would get discouraged by what somebody would say, and she was the one that would anchor me and say, get back on it, and then, you know, growing up in New Haven and doing music or any type of venture, it's New Haven's no joke. It's hard. It's hard, you know. I'm fortunate to actually, you know, was brought up in New Haven. Because when it comes to the arts, New Haven is no joke. No joke. So you're not going to just be minimal with anything here. You know, performing. You know, and I was the type of person, like, I'm just not, I would get discouraged, but that discouragement would also, once I thought about it, you know, and I was able to bounce back or be resilient, you know, with a positive change, you know.
So there's nothing new, but do you feel like over time that has kept from artists to really develop in New Haven, because there's really not that much encouragement from the actual community? Mm-hmm. It's always a takedown or pullback, but the people who do rise to the top are pretty good and world renowned.
Well, I got a chance to work with a lot of people that in New Haven, different operations from the arts councils and the city run stuff, the international festivals. And then with that, it seems like folks have their own little cliques and clubs. And they pat each other on the back and award each other, and you know, there was an operation that was done with a performance where it was said, "Oh, New Haven's finest," and when I checked it out, I didn't know none of these people. I mean, I think I would know New Haven's finest in here, in this town and stuff. So, yeah, so that in itself was discouraging, you know. But I was one of the best things that I got out of that. I always created my own venues to do what I do. If I want to perform, I'd create that. I'd invest in that. I would put it on and make it happen. You know, so I didn't have to depend on these various operations through the councils and the festivals. Because if I didn't stand up and do what I do, you know, I just would be overlooked. You know, so I had to do that.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. In case you don't know the voice, he's been around a number of years in our community. Brian Jarawa Gray, beating on here on the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario in awe. You can teach a master class on navigating New Haven culture because New Haven culture is very distinct. You talk about creating your own venues to celebrate yourself. Do you find that there's a Jesus syndrome that is really prevalent in the city? I mean, they'll celebrate someone from another community way before they'll celebrate one of their own. And you would have to literally go away to become a star and
yes,
and then get hired.
Hallelujah. Yeah, and I thought about that today before I came here. Yeah, the saying in the Bible said even Jesus couldn't even perform any miracles in his own hometown. So who am I, right? So, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I had to do that. Most of my greatest accomplishments has been, I lived in New York for years, you know.
But in New York, you're celebrating. I mean, you go to New York, people know you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I went there, and I created my own venue there, too. It was a Revelations a dance company that I had founded and put together. And it was African drum and dance. These were people that were in the huge African drum and dance operations that were there, that wanted to get out of the secular, and they went behind the walls of the churches, right? And when they heard that I was doing these things, and I collaborated with a pastor there, and these people came out, you know, they said, oh, okay, just they felt safe and protected. Myself and this pastor, what we were doing and how we were doing it. Mm.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
The drum has been used as a form of communication throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
By all the various groups that you mentioned, the diasporas. Mm-hmm. It's used to transfer information. Mm-hmm. Through the rhythms and sounds. What can you talk to about that?
Well, and how we do it, again, it's one of the greatest ways of getting people together. People seem to gravitate toward that, like the drum circles. You know, when you put those together, you know, it's a way of getting many cultures. Everybody love the African sciences, the so-called African that's in America, African Americans, and you know, with the community, that's the greatest part. When you're talking about how it was developed and became a valid way of communicating.
But it's been around there for thousands of years. The drum circle is not anything new. I know that you played in drum circles on the corners here in New Haven, and People will come out in droves just to hear the sounds and be part of the dancing. Have you noticed the increasing amount of acceptance over the years? Because at one time, was it ever taboo in our community?
I never felt that on that level. What I did, I remember any time that we would get on the block and set up our drums, we would get onlookers from the outside with the cameras. White folks would come and they watch us and they studied us. Don't you know that at this day and time, they have so many operations with African drum and dance all through Connecticut on the outside. In Connecticut, they're now calling themselves masters. Yeah. Well, even when I went to Africa, you know, they're there, they're studying, and there were white folks down there studying the drum, you know. Ask me another question.
I'm just saying, in regards to that, people consider themselves masters. I mean, it's been accepted now and widely in American culture. You have, like you said, the Caucasians are deeply invested in learning and and teaching themselves. But when it comes to our culture, what are some basic rhythms that can transfer, since you study so many, right? Mm-hmm. The bomba, the conga. Are there any common threads or common rhythm between all of them, or they're all really distinct based on their background?
Okay. Right. Our greatest baba in rhythm, James Brown, right? And On the One, right? That's the most common. That's where the funk came out of. On the One. And he would ask, I saw the story, he would ask each of his musicians, what is that in front of you, the sax player? And the sax player would say, it's a sax. He said, no, it's not a sax, it's a drum, right? And then so on with the guitar, that's a drum, or they all drums. So he approached each instrument it's a drum. These are drums, you know. The common denominator is the one. The one. Everybody knows about the one, you know. Play a lot for the various dance groups in New Haven also. You know, they have this count, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, I'm used to like 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1. So that's the, so when you listen to the R&B sounds and even the jazz sounds, and then, yeah.
They all have the one.
They have that one.
Well, then it's just one. That's it.
One. You know?
And that rhythm goes through every single diaspora, every single sound. Mm-hmm. Man.
You got the progressive players that's veteran to the eclectic ways of music, the avant-garde.
Mm-hmm.
Those laws don't apply to them.
You know, but everyone works within the sphere.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get it. I mean, the wheel's the wheel.
Yeah, they got to hold on to something, you know? Yeah,
but they can't reinvent the one, too. Mm-hmm. They can't reinvent that. That's like the backbone to every single even if you slow it down, you speed it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere. And you're right. It's really common. Mm-hmm. We're nearing the end of our conversation. Let's talk a little bit about what you're talking. What are you up to these days?
Oh, these days, I'm teaching African drum at the African-American Culture Center. The African-American Culture Center has been around for since early 60s.
It's been around for a minute.
And
Park Street,
there for that long. So, often later on, off and on. But what I'm doing now, we have the African Arts Alliance operation that's operating out of the cultural center from every Monday.
Every Monday.
6 to 7 o'clock drumming instruction. Right? This is not a drum circle. It's different.
This is for actually some learning.
Right, right.
Learning going on here. Teaching and learning.
The idiosyncrasies of drumming, you can come and take that class right there. If you want to just play and bang and do what you want to do. And so they have, I think there's one, outside of New Haven, they have various drum circles.
But the one we're talking about for you is Mondays, you say 6 o'clock?
6 p.m. on
6 p.m. on Mondays, yeah. Afro-Am, right there at Yale Park Street. Mm-hmm. And you're all over the city. I've seen you at the Q House. Mm-hmm. You're always the library. You're always playing with the kids. Mm-hmm. How important is that? What is your mission now? Is your mission to keep the rhythm alive or to make sure that the legacy of the drum?
Well, and to use it to promote social consciousness and not just banging. You know, there's a message that needs to be delivered, and you know, I got to the point where I believe I reached such a high degree of doing this, and it's like, where else can I go, you know? So there's so much the kids are taking each other out with the gun violence. You know, there's landlords, slumlords. In the house, you got this guy in the office that's promoting that agenda with the racism, and there's been a surge in that. Well, actually, it's always been around, but they feel more comfortable.
Do you feel like if everyone was in sync in the same rhythm, things would be a little different? Everyone marched to the beat of the same drum?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It gives, with people have different ideas of how they want to do things sometimes, especially with the drumming. And I also do drum circles too. And they would come and they get to sit with another black person, with a Latino person, you know, a person from Japan. They get to sit side by side and play, right? And even after that, now, you know, they're talking and chatting. And I mean, I have some people say they never sat down and spoke with a black person before. Yeah, they've been around, but they actually never had a conversation with them. Yeah, yeah.
In this day and age,
never had a conversation with a black person. They always lived out there in the boondocks somewhere, and that's all they heard day by day. You know how they speak? They talk about us behind them closed doors.
And they're out there playing their little congas in Hippieville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they never really.
That's their medicine. The medicine, they're coming out, you know, it helps, you know. It's medicine.
Thank you so much for your time. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Brian Jarawa Gray. Sir, last words. You get the last word in.
Well, all I can say is more love in the world, where to develop a better understanding of each other. You know, the people can be so mean, you know, and so so closed. You know, just open up. You know, we're not. Don't take it too serious, because we're not going to get out of this alive.
Very good.
That's what we're saying, right?
Yes, sir.
Let the rain fall on you. It's not going to hurt. You know, little things.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time, Brian. Right. This has been the Electric Drummer 94.3 WYBC. I'm Jose Candelario, and that has been the wise, kind words from Master Drummer. Master Drummer, Master Educator, Brian Jarawa Gray. I'm Jose Candelario, and like always, thank you for listening.
We out?